So, ladies and gentlemen, there's just been a full-blown episode here in the Tempcast studio. Alan John was ready to record with us, and then just out of nowhere, checked his phone and realized, oh man, I need to go get working on Alien John, because I only have 30 days to get it submitted to Microsoft, or else I'm going to lose my dev account. And so he ran out of here and left us all three to do the podcast on our own.
I'm taken aback because I get that he's doing that, but I don't understand why before he ran away, he literally took a pair of scissors and snipped his microphone so that he could not even be back on. Wait, there he is. Hey, Alan John, what the fuck is your problem? I can't hear you. What an idiot. See, he snapped his... All right. Oh, really? Oh, that's just funny,
wow,
man.
That is a middle finger right there.
That's just funny. Yeah, great. Uh-huh. Wow.
Real mature.
Well, you know what? We're just going to ignore you the rest of the episode. We can't even hear you.
You know what? I hope you lose your Microsoft dev account now.
Yeah, loser. Wait, lose his Microsoft dev account? I don't even understand what that means.
Oh, there's been a thing going on lately with the Microsoft dev accounts. Basically, on the Xbox, you can pay, I think it's like $20 to get a developer account on it, and it'll let you... you know, tinker around with Unity and shit, and you can publish games on the Xbox Store. And then at like right around the end of last year, like in the last couple of days of the year, people's accounts suddenly started getting deactivated, which they wasn't really happening before. And Microsoft was claiming that they were taking down inactive accounts, at least in an email that got sent out to people. And that's kind of a big deal because a lot of people use the dev mode to access RetroArch. And turn their Xboxes into emulation boxes, which I always thought was a really clever thing that Microsoft did, because if people can emulate games on their systems anyway, then there's not going to be as much interest in hacking and all that. And then for a little while, it seemed like Microsoft was kind of taking that ability away out of nowhere, claiming that people's accounts were inactive and you had to publish things on the Microsoft Store within like 90 days of the account being active, or 30. It's 90, I think, right?
Okay. Interesting.
That went on for about 10 days, and then a project manager at Xbox came out and basically said it was an accident and they're going to restore all the accounts. But some people are still reporting their accounts getting disabled. Some are saying that they haven't been reinstated after they were disabled. A lot of people are questioning whether Microsoft was trying to do this intentionally and... you know, are now just backtracking and saying there was an accident after they caught.
Well, and that's my thought is like,
that was my first thought also.
Like, okay, so this is what they want to do because they want to, I don't know, they want to crack down on the emulation on their system. And then people start noticing and freaking out and it's, oh God, we got to course correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like earlier last year when they raised the price on Xbox Live and then like, I think a day or two later, completely reversed on that because people got pissed at them.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't mean to actually announce that we were going to raise the price. We are bad. Oops. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. Don't worry. I remember when we said that you had to always be online. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We weren't planning on doing that either.
God, Microsoft really is the masters of course correction, aren't they?
They sure are.
I mean, they've been trying to course correct, I feel like, since the Xbox One announcement.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's been one big course correction ever since then.
You're not wrong. It's... that really is what it's been. It's just been, they say something or do something, people don't like it, and they try to change it so they can get back to the level of glory they had in the Xbox 360 era.
Yeah, and they're pretty close to it right now, I think. I think people generally really like Microsoft because Game Pass is so good, and the Series S is fairly cheap for what it offers, and it's a great emulation box with dev mode, but then like little things start to sneak in here and there that you start to wonder about.
And everybody loves Windows 11.
Well, and my favorite thing about Microsoft too, in addition to Game Pass, is just how everything's coming to PC now. It's not just Xbox or just PC. I know for the longest time, you know, most games that were Microsoft exclusive did get to both, but now they're like, it's an active stance. Like, no, anything that's exclusive, PC and Xbox. So yeah, Microsoft doing plenty of good things, but then also trying to sneak this shady shit in behind our backs.
They've also been really good for the last few years about cooperating with other publishers and developers, especially Nintendo. Like,
we got Banjo and Steve in Smash, yo.
We got that. We got a bunch of other stuff. Like, what else was it? It was started with like Minecraft, the Bedrock Edition had crossplay with Nintendo and Xbox. And for the longest time, when Sony wasn't playing nice, you'd still get that.
Yep.
With Nintendo. Yeah, they've been pretty cool about that for a while.
So, but getting back to this, so you don't need to publish anything within 30 or 90 days to keep your dev account, it sounds like. It's just all been a quote-unquote misunderstanding.
I don't know. It all seems a little vague. Some people are being... I'm honestly not 100% sure.
Okay.
Because certain people are saying that they're still getting deactivated, but it doesn't seem to be as prevalent, whether they just haven't corrected that mistake yet. I don't know. And the terms and conditions, or no, I'm sorry, it's not the terms and conditions, it's the code of conduct says that you need to stay active, but they don't, that's not specified in any way. It's just you need to stay active or they'll deactivate your account.
Right. Yeah. Is using my account to run emulation considered activity?
I have no idea. It's very vague.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a frustrating thing, especially because a lot of people do. I mean, I don't want to say a lot of people, but a certain number of people are buying the Series S just for that.
Yep.
You know, because it's a convenient emulation box to stick under your TV and you get new games for it. But
yep.
If that whole aspect is taken away, then that's pretty crappy.
Do not disagree.
Yeah.
Speaking of new games, you guys like old games?
Most of what I play is old games.
What we can do is we can combine old games and new games and put them together. in such a fashion that...
Watching the gears turn in Eric's head in real time is like always the highlight of these segues.
You guys have no idea how tired I am right now.
Eric looks... exactly like that dude in the History Channel meme that's like aliens.
You know, let me mess up my hair a little more. So
fuck you, audio listeners.
Now I look like what's his face from Bubble Boy, Jake Gyllenhaal's with his hair like this.
Whoa, you're gonna get canceled by the Swifties now.
Swifties?
The Taylor Swift fans for looking like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, wow, yeah, well. Sorry, everybody.
Eric, can I help you out here?
Yeah, please.
Hey, speaking of Microsoft playing nice with Nintendo, it looks like they might be releasing a port of the old GoldenEye game from N64.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are familiar with GoldenEye 007 on the N64. It was a super, super popular game back then. It's kind of a landmark shooter in a lot of ways.
Oh, and absolutely.
It's been stuck on... Yeah, it's been stuck on the N64 for since it released, which was when, 97, 98, something like that?
Yeah, one of those years.
Yeah, because it was made by Rare, published by Nintendo. Microsoft then bought Rare. It uses the literary character James Bond. It's based on a film by Eon, and it uses the likenesses of real actors. So the whole thing is a fucking disaster.
And it also includes characters beyond the GoldenEye film.
Yeah.
For multiplayer modes and stuff. I know Odd Job is in the multiplayer. Yeah. He was my main because hat OP, please nerf.
Because you're a fucking little punk ass.
You have the small body, small head mods. Or cheats.
That just adds to it because then it's likenesses and characters from other.
Yeah, even beyond. Yep. Yeah. And there was an attempt to get it ported to XBLA in 2008. I don't think it was ever announced publicly, but a nearly completed version of it leaked last year. And Grant Kirkhope, who composes a ton of Rare games, came out and said that, yeah, they nearly had it finished and they just couldn't figure out the licensing, mainly between Microsoft, Nintendo, and Eon. And so it got scrapped. And now, so there's a website called trueachievements.com that scrapes Microsoft servers for achievement lists. And a listing popped up the other day for GoldenEye 007. And the art on the achievement icons is taken from that old game. And it, you know, is describing those levels and those multiplayer modes and those cheats and unlockables and everything. It seems fairly clearly to be this game. And it's a lot more believable that it'd be coming out now because of, like I said, Nintendo and Microsoft playing so much nicer with each other these days.
Yeah.
And Eon has probably seen the success companies have had in just cooperating with each other for licenses and likenesses, doing these crossover events that you see everywhere. Plus, it's James Bond's 60th anniversary, so maybe they're going to try and make a push and, you know, maybe do another video game or something. Who knows?
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, were you guys also in on the GoldenEye craze back in the day? Going to sleepovers and basically just four-player split-screen GoldenEye constantly?
Yep.
Close enough. I did that with Perfect Dark. That was my go-to. But, I mean, pretty much.
Pretty similar.
Spiritual successor, pretty much the same thing.
For my friends and I, it was a healthy mix of GoldenEye and the original Smash Bros. Basically, would just pop one cartridge out when we were bored and pop the other one in. And then by the time we were bored of the next, we'd just pop the first one back in again. And that was basically 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. to 5 a.m.
It was basically 10 years of our lives.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I poured a ton of time into that game, too. I remember I would set it to whatever the instant death mode was called, and then set the only weapons to proximity mines, so we would just lay traps for each other and have slappers on. Jeez. And just chase each other around and try to herd each other into our traps. It's a great game. And have you tried to play it recently?
No, I haven't. I own it on my N64, but the last time I tried to play it, it did not age gracefully. Any shooter, pre-Halo shooters don't age well anymore.
No, it's awkward because it only had one stick on the N64, so you have to kind of walk around and you look and walk with the same button, and I think you strafe with the C buttons, and then you have to stop and hit a button to start aiming, and then you aim around with the stick, but you can't move and shoot at the same time, which happens in some games, like Resident Evil does that, but those aren't, you know, fast-paced deathmatch shooters and shit. Are
you
right?
Sure? Like, have you played Resident Evil 4 VR? You're basically John Wick.
That's true. But, like, I don't know. It doesn't hold up very well. It's not. No. And the aiming is very awkward. It's kind of slow and laggy. So this is definitely a game that is in dire, dire need of a remake.
I'm assuming it'll probably be a remaster, just because that's arguably the simpler process. So what if they go out of their way to keep the controls shitty so as to portray an accurate representation of what the game used to be?
Mm-hmm. Then this will be the hardest achievement list of all fucking time.
Obviously, that's probably not going to happen, even if it is a remaster versus a remake. It'll likely have vastly changed controls to play well on modern hardware. Which it could sure use, because nothing breaks the nostalgia blinders better than trying to play games you loved as a kid after better control schemes are made.
Yeah.
I feel like it's time to go into another rant about tank controls.
I mean, you say that, but like the day I played Resident Evil 4 was the day I stopped like playing Resident Evil 1, 2, 3, and Code Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh no, our call ends in 10 minutes.
What
fuck? This happened last time we tried to record.
Okay, so do we just hang up and keep recording and start a new call?
I would say yes.
And Alan John can edit around this because he's the best.
He's the best.
All right, here, I'll make a meeting. Hold on.
Okay, cool.
Okay, all right.
God, I had such great fucking traction on that too. Oh my God.
It was going so smooth.
Fuck. I'm glad you switched Golden.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, long time no see.
Hey, it's been a while.
Jordan, let's come on, buddy.
Hurry
let's
up, Jordan, dumb shit, motherfucker.
Get your ass on here, buddy.
Oh, God, we don't got time for this. What if the call ends again?
Jordan, we don't got a friggin' opportunity to just not...
What were we talking about? It was something about tank controls and Resident Evil and GoldenEye. Where do we pick this up?
I don't know. Okay, there he is.
Good.
Jordan's in the meeting.
There you are.
Jordan's here.
Jordan, when your little profile pic comes up on Google, you look like a white Guillermo from What We Do in the Shadows.
That is the highest compliment you could have ever paid me.
I'm glad.
God, because Guillermo is just a fucking badass.
He is. He's a champion. Okay. All right, we got to get back on
track. Yeah, I prefer Conan over Guillermo.
Wow, fuck you. Okay, so... All right. Eric had said tank controls, and I had mentioned, the day I played Resident Evil 4 for the first time, and I'm like, this is awesome. That is the last day I enjoyed playing Resident Evils 1, 2, 3, and Code Veronica, because tank controls suck.
What about the day that you played the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake?
Just more proof that the original games, while dear to my heart and having an undoubted place in gaming history, really aged and not the best way to experience the franchise anymore. And it's a gosh darn shame that Capcom seems to not care about Resident Evil 1, Resident Evil 0, and Code Veronica, and they're stuck with tank controls. You'd think, I know we got Remake 1 already, but you would think they'd want 1 to match 2 and 3 in terms of gameplay now. And I wish Capcom would just remake with better controls, basically.
I see Alan John back there just like screaming at us about how tank controls, but I can't hear him because he cut his microphone in half.
Is this the official confirmation that Alien John is going to be tank controls exclusively?
It probably, but I can't like read lips. He's trying to. All right. Well, I know what that sign language means.
That's another middle finger. Wow.
Jesus Christ, dude.
That is some fruity sign language.
He's pro tank controls. We're kind of anti. Have you ever played Grim Fandango? That was a fun game, but like tank controls made it funky also.
No. I'll bet if Alan John sticks to his insistence on Alien John tank controls, that there'll just be a group of fans that remake the game under his nose with better controls.
Yeah. I mean, people who are like crazy, like
what? See, the problem is you're the fucking Resident Evil expert, Jordan, so you can't do the setup and then explain it. I tried to jump in earlier and you fucking steamrolled right through the whole fucking goddamn thing. You talked for like a fucking minute and a half. You never fucking said a word, though. You just, for Christ's sake, just fucking do the goddamn story.
Okay.
You people are a fucking disaster. I need Alan John back.
And Steven's walking away right now. He's flipping us off.
So there's a group of fans that are remaking Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil Code Veronica to be more in line gameplay-wise and graphically with the more modern interpretations of Resident Evil games. Your remakes 2 and 3, your Village and Resident Evil 7s, to where, yeah, they're using a lot of the official assets, they're kind of recreating those iconic locations from the games that Capcom seems to have forgotten about. And in the GBA temp thread that Steven wrote for this, they've also released two trailers for these fan remakes and...
Well, they weren't in the thread. They're not exclusive to the GTA.
Well, no. You added them to the thread. Apologies for any misleading language there. Yeah. But no, they're not exclusive, but you included them and they look great. The Code Veronica one's like 8 minutes long, and except for a few portions, for most of the trailer, I'm watching it and thinking like, you could tell me that Capcom did this and I wouldn't bat an eye. Like, it looks really professionally done. Everything looks wet. That's a little weird, but
it's very wet. That is a wet ass trailer.
It is. Claire looks moist and it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but no, a lot of solid progress has been made. Code Veronica, I think specifically they said that it's going to be in like three chapters, 12 hours, which is accurate to Code Veronica as far as how long it takes to experience that story, and gonna be released for free probably as just a full game in itself, not like a patch for your Steam copy of Resident Evil 1, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Code Veronica isn't even on.
No, it's not. It is not. It is on XBLA store and probably PlayStation store still.
Yeah. Not even for the PS4 or the Xbox Series or the Xbox One, though.
Yeah, no, it's backwards compatible with the 360 on the Xbox. I know that much for sure.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Steven, you pointed out, and I think this is funny too, they've got Ko-fi and PayPal donations on the bottom, and they just have to point out that, like, we did not accept donations, we financed this ourselves, and then one of our developers' video card gave up, and so we have to take donations so we can keep working now.
The exact quote is, "But unfortunately along the way we had unforeseen events and we have had a great loss when Matt video card burned. With great effort we have been able to renew it, but we have invested a lot, so now we decided that anyone who wants to collaborate with us can do so."
Yeah, no, and I'm glad that they have donations open, because this clearly there's a lot of work that's gone into this. They're trying to make it as close to an official remake as they can.
Yeah.
Props to them. Love seeing fans pick up the slack where the official companies fail. And I hope that they're allowed to keep doing this and that Capcom doesn't hit them with that good cease and desist. But, you know, if Capcom does hit them with the cease and desist, that is potential that they're working on this themselves, which is also great to hear, but could also just be them protecting their IP and doesn't actually confirm anything.
Well, so I'm not sure about the Resident Evil 1 remake, but the Resident Evil Code Veronica remake has been in development, I think, since 2019. There's a demo that's been out for about a year or so.
Okay.
And they haven't been hit with a cease and desist yet, so
right,
maybe it just hasn't gotten on Capcom's radar or what.
That's what I'd imagine, is it's just stayed low key long enough. So glad we're talking about this and bringing more attention to it. But honestly, the Code Veronica one is the one I'm most interested anyway, because that game's been all but abandoned, as we just discussed. You know, as much as I want better controls on Remake 1, at least Remake 1, you can get it really easily.
Yeah, and even the original version is fairly accessible, I think. It's on PSN. I think it's on Steam, is it?
Let me check.
I'm not sure. It's pretty cool. I mean, this is a good year to be a fan of old Resident Evil games, I guess, because we have these two remakes are both set to release this year. There's that Resident Evil 4 HD fan pack that we talked about a few weeks ago that's coming out. And the guy that voices Wesker possibly leaked a Resident Evil 4 remake that wouldn't necessarily be this year, but it's probably pretty f***ing soon. I don't know, it's exciting. There's a lot happening with Resident Evil, a lot of it is from fans. Now it's not on Steam.
The HD remaster of Remake is on Steam.
Gotcha.
OG Resident Evil is not. I personally still have my Resident Evil the DS port that they made of the first game. I still have that. But
I forgot they did that. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a good time to be a Resident Evil fan. Great to see a beloved franchise not get completely abandoned and celebrated with only a tweet from an alternate account at 3 a.m.
Pour one out for the Metroid fans. Yeah, or get celebrated with NFTs.
Right.
Castlevania fans.
Are we talking about NFTs?
It's up to you guys. I don't have anything to say.
Neither do I, other than that I hate it.
Non-fungible tokens. You can't touch them. They're not fungible. You can't touch them. I think
Eric got drunk while we were talking about Resident Evil.
I think so, too.
These tokens you cannot touch.
Eric is on tank controls now.
Speaking of beloved franchises that get celebrated properly and not abandoned by their creators,
let's talk Half-Life.
Let's do it.
Was that what you were going to?
No. I was going to point out that Pokemon Legends Arceus, Arceus, Arcus, Arceus, insert your pronunciation of that word here, of that Pokemon's name. Yeah, Pokemon Legends got a new overview trailer that showed a lot of gameplay and a lot of just about the game. So, kind of neat.
Yeah, Eric, you're a Pokemon guy, right? You love Pokemon Go? This is like Pokemon Go, but it's like a video game, so you don't have to actually go anywhere.
Pokemon Go to Sinnoh.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to old Sinnoh. I do not identify as a Pokemon fan. That said, I have every single Pokemon aside from a handful of
Dialgas.
Legendaries. of mythicals. I got all the legendaries. There's like three or four mythicals that I wasn't able to get, but I got everything else. That said, I'm not a Pokemon fan. I'm a Pokemon fanatic.
So what are your thoughts?
And yes, I have a Deoxys. Shut up. I got it from friggin'
Deoxys. I said Deoxys. I always get those two confused.
No, I got a Deoxys. I got him from what's it called? You know, I'm not feeling Alpha Sapphire. I got him from Alpha Sapphire is what it's called.
Okay. Well, what do you think about the new game that isn't out yet?
The new game that isn't out yet looks exactly like Pokemon Crystal, Pokemon Shield and Sword.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Graphically, fool.
Maybe. They've changed the shading a little bit.
A little bit. It doesn't look great. It looks... look great.
Okay, you're saying it doesn't look great, but I'm watching the trailer right now, and my immediate thought is, wow, remember that first concept trailer they showed us that played at, like, 2 frames per second? Like, this looks significantly better. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Awesome. It looks almost as good as Pokemon friggin' Sword and Shield.
Just be excited for Pokemon Breath of the Wild, Eric. Just do it.
No, because it's not Pokemon Breath of the Wild. It's not even Pokemon Ocarina of Time, man.
Pokemon Monster Hunter.
No, it's friggin' Pokemon Final Fantasy 13.
What?
No, it's not. I'm sorry, guys. it's absolutely not that. I don't know what it is, but it's not even close.
So Legends Arceus kind of does away with the
Pokemon Peggle shit.
At least I can admit when I was wrong. It's like this is like Pokemon Tetris. I'm sorry. No, it's not. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, guys. Don't tell Arceus I said that.
Oh, hey, man, in the opening of that, there was like an electric monkey boy. Was that Zerora?
Might have been.
Hell yeah, because I still need to catch a Zerora.
Well, you know, if you play the game with Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl save data on your Switch, you will get access to a Darkrai event after you complete the main game.
I already got a Darkrai, so I don't really give a shit.
Wow, okay, cool.
Everybody on gbatemp.net, here's what I need to get still. I need a Fionn.
Holy fuck.
I need a Diancie. I need a Volcanion. I need a Marshadow. And I need a Zeraora. I got everything else. So if you can get me those things, I would be like, yo, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Or well, man. Vince Cool, whatever. I'll take one of those things.
Eric, Jordan, can you give a more coherent overview of this trailer, yes, please? I don't know anything about Pokemon.
Basically, so really I've been following this kind of casually because being such a departure from the main kind of Pokemon core, I kind of want to go into it knowing as little as possible so I can have a fresh experience. But based on this trailer, and I'm just kind of skimming through it while we talk, nothing that I'm seeing here looks like it's new. It looks like it's just kind of a better look at stuff we already knew was happening in the games. As far as like, there's not really a separate screen for battles. You know, your Pokemon is with you, and when you encounter a Pokemon in the wild, things just start happening right there. Pokemon are attacking you. There's going to be these hyped up bosses that you have to like fight them and kind of whittle them down before you're able to capture them. The collecting and research aspect is going to be kind of the major crux of this game. and this trailer is in Japanese, so if there is new information there, I can't understand it. Oh, one thing I did see that's new, at least new to me, is there is going to be the trainer customization in here, which I kind of like because in all the concept stuff, they're just showing the clothes and haircuts that look like the protagonists of Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
And in this trailer, this is the first time that I'm seeing it where you can change your hair and not wear that weird beret hat, which I like. When Pokemon started adding character customization, I got very happy because it just adds such a personal touch to the game that it just enhances it, in my opinion.
And yet I always stay with the default.
Isn't this game supposed to take place like thousands of years in the past or something?
I don't know how long in the past, but yeah, this is supposed to be Sinnoh before it was Sinnoh.
It's weird that they still wear the same beret in the future.
little bit. And that this character looks identical to a character in the future.
What's that character's name supposed to be again? Is it like Lucas
and Don. And then Barry is the rival.
Barry? Oh, yeah, Barry.
Yep. But yeah, it takes place in a pre-Sinnoh called the Hisuai region.
Hisuai,
whatever. Arceus, Arceus, I don't care. Point is, it's Sinnoh, but it's not Sinnoh. But Jublife Village, which many Pokemon fans will recognize Jublife City from Diamond and Pearl games. So little connections there that bring it to the known Sinnoh games, but also changing it for a earlier time frame.
That's kind of cool. I like the idea of revisiting a familiar environment, seeing how it was different in the past.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a fun little thing you can do.
One interesting thing I am noticing in this trailer is that there's a building in Jublife Village that has
Amazing. That's a huge departure.
Pokemon rated M. Hot coffee mod.
Holy hell. Fucking buying this day one.
No, there's like a steam stack ventilation type thing on one of the buildings in Jublife Village, and it's shaped in the form of a Galarian Weezing. Which is the Weezing that has the big top hat with the smog coming out of it.
Which you can only get, like, in the end of the game when you're going back into that forest. Spoilers.
Yeah.
You go in the forest.
But yeah, just it's interesting that this is supposed to be a pre-Sinnoh, but they're showing off a regional variant in their architecture that isn't from the Sinnoh region. But also with... Or Mega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, so they kind of introduced multiverse into Pokemon, so it's
Is that like how we find like cave drawings that are like of the same shit that shouldn't like,
little
but
bit.
From civilizations that shouldn't be, have been able to talk to each other back then?
A little bit.
Are there
bit.
Aliens? And that's
I mean,
awesome.
Deoxys is an alien. Like, just
is he?
Outright. Okay. Deoxys and Genesect are aliens, just full blown.
The Ultra Beasts are like pseudo aliens. They're like come from alternate dimensions or universes, right? Something like that.
Right.
That's why they're completely impronounceable. Can you name a single Ultra Beast that's not named Guzzlord?
Buzzwole.
Guzzlord.
But
Jesus.
Yeah, no. Pokemon in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they officially confirmed the Pokemon multiverse. As basically an excuse to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and the fans can't complain about it.
All right.
Speaking of doing whatever you want, whenever you want, and people not complaining about it, what's the next topic?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to find a way to transition to this one, so I'm just going to say it quickly. The PCSX2 emulator, which is a PS2 emulator, it's, I would say, probably the most popular one. I don't really know of another one a lot of people use. Had a Vulkan renderer added to it, which is something people have wanted for a long time. Basically, it just offers a performance boost in some games that are very hard to emulate. It was done by a guy named Stenzek, who made a PlayStation 1 emulator called Duck Station that apparently is very good. I haven't used it. I don't know a ton about it.
Oh, nice.
But I thought that was interesting that there was this little collaboration between them.
Mm-hmm.
It only just came out. If you look in their Twitter, there's a few people saying that it's not working great, but other people seem to be very supportive of it, so yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot to say about it other than PCSX2 is better. So if there was a game you wanted to play on it that didn't run before, maybe go try it again. Maybe you'll have a little bit more luck or keep an eye on
very
it.
Very cool. Maybe if you've never used PCSX2 before, is now the time to start playing with it and testing it out?
Yeah, I mean it's as good a time as any, really, because it could already play a lot of games, but
right.
You know, it's going to be better with some of the things that it struggled with before.
Very cool. Maybe now I can finally play the Kingdom Hearts franchise on PC.
Oh, wow. If you had said that a few weeks ago, we would have had a great transition. And by a few weeks, I think I mean like 7 months ago. Whenever the fuck they came out on PC. Instead, let's talk about VR, because I think we're running out of time.
We are. Speaking of Sony.
Speaking of Kingdom Hearts. Sony announced the PSVR 2. Sony announced the PCSX2 is a renderer, Vulkan renderer. Sony announced the PSVR 2, which is just going to be, as you can imagine, the
second of the PSVR
franchise, which will be coming to, it'll be the version of it for the PS5, designed to run with that equipment.
Only has one cord, so that's pretty cool.
I was going to say, from what I heard, not cordless, so Oculus Gang reigns supreme, Ayo.
Ayo.
Ayo Neo.
Ayo. But
that's
a
sick reference to the Ayo Neo franchise of handheld portable.
Speaking
games.
Of franchises. That's what the
Neo Geo was called in Australia, the Ayo Neo.
The Ayo Neo.
So the PSVR 2, it's just going to be one cord, so I don't think it's as... I think the PSVR 1 was a few different cords, so it's a little bit neater. It looks like it'll run fairly well. It'll have 4K HDR, an OLED display, and support for 90 or 120 hertz. So, I mean, it looks good. It's just really a lot of specs right now that anyone can look up. I don't know. There's not a lot to say about it. VR is one of those things that I think you kind of need to experience to be able to talk about.
Yes.
And I don't have much experience with it. I don't think any of us have a ton.
It would be one. No. Well, I mean...
I've played my Quest 2 quite a bit, but I also only have experience with the Quest 2. I've never tried a Vive or any other headsets.
The new controllers, they're not Move controllers anymore. Whatever the new controllers with it are going to make use of adaptive triggers. They're going to have the 3D audio and haptic feedback. That's all on the PS5 controller, so that's cool.
Oh, nice.
I don't anticipate this happening, but it would have been really cool if we would have been able, if we're able to use the PSVR 2 on PC natively, via Steam and all that, just like you can with the other stuff, but doubtful.
Yeah, they haven't said one way or another yet, but it is doubtful. And you could use the first one non-officially on PC, but I kind of doubt we'll see that
again. Yeah, and you're limited in a lot of what you can do with it.
Yeah. And there is one game coming to it. There's more than one game coming to it. One game was announced.
PSVR 2 having one game.
One game. There's going to be a Horizon game coming to it from Guerrilla, which is kind of neat. Awesome. And that was leaked. So they announced this on January 5th, I believe. And this was leaked as far back as September by a dude named Nick Baker, who has a website called Xbox Era. And... he has also leaked recently that PSVR 2 might be getting... Well, he said that the PSVR 2 will be getting Half-Life Alyx.
Whoa!
Which is kind of interesting, because I haven't played it. Like I said, I don't have much experience with VR, but everyone who's played it cites it as one of the best VR games of all time. And completely essential to being able to understand VR and its capabilities and everything. So I like the idea of it coming over, obviously. I mean, any game... getting stuck on one platform kind of sucks. I would be surprised to see it happen, though, because I feel like it's a big draw for Valve and their Index. And
yes.
I don't know.
That was kind of my immediate thought, too, is not necessarily headset exclusivity, like with Resident Evil 4 VR on the Quest 2 exclusively on their built-in platform, but keeping Half-Life Alyx on PC would be the draw, I would think, is bring them to the Valve VR store. You don't have a VR headset? Well, the Valve Index is here to fix that. You know what I mean? Keep it in their ecosystem is what I would have assumed they'd want to do. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, because I mean, it doesn't really do them any good. It's not selling them Valve Indexes. It's not getting them sales on the Steam VR.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd probably sell a lot of copies of it, but I don't really see why they do it. And this is literally just one dude that said this. He's been right about a few things in the past. Like I said, he predicted the Horizon VR game. And I think he leaked that Insomniac was going to be working on another Marvel game before it got announced, which turned out to be Wolverine.
Yep.
But again, that's something that's kind of vague and open-ended.
It's like when you visit a psychic and they just throw out vague shit. And then you fill in the blanks with what you want it to mean. And they're like, yep.
Yeah. It's one step above. There's been a rumor going around all fucking week about Mario Kart 9 being in development.
Yeah.
And the source is literally just an industry analyst that was like, Nintendo made a lot of money off the last Mario Kart. I bet they're probably doing another one. And it somehow got picked up by the news cycle of people being like, industry insider says Mario Kart 9 is in development. And it's like, what the fuck are you
Source,
talking about?
Bro, trust me.
Yeah, and so I Googled Nick Baker Xbox era leak. And like you know, he's got some stuff right. But there's also a lot of stuff that doesn't appear to pan out, and you can say maybe it's further down the road, it'll be confirmed later, but I mean, he says things like there's a Bloodborne PC port that's already finished and a PS5 remaster is coming. He says a new Wipeout game is in development. He's talked about Chrono Cross getting a remaster. Sly Cooper will be returning, according to him. And these are all fairly recent predictions. Well, the Wipeout game was like August. I don't know. I would take it with a big, big grain of salt, but maybe. I mean, it could be true, but I wouldn't count on it.
You know, we just got done saying a lot of like, why would Valve do that? But at the same time, I also could see it, you know, because it's money. Anything Half-Life is just going to print money at this point, so... It's not the most unrealistic thing I've ever heard, but no,
but I'd be surprised to see it. I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
We shall. Just like we'll see Eric falling asleep
on his webcam. Yeah.
Oh, my camera's on, everybody. Hi.
Yeah. I only knew that because Alan John kept like knocking on the glass and pointing at you. I'm gonna be honest.
Fair enough. We did it, Reddit.
We did. We made it through a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, Alan John told us to keep it to 45 minutes, and I'm looking at 44 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah, but we had how much time of us?
No, Chuck, shut it. Get the fuck out. Go.
Oh, God. Kill it. Bye.